Something a little different this morning. I told you that I hoped, and I usually use that term, hope, because I'm never sure. I hoped we would get to Romans chapter 9, but we're going to take a little pause. And we're not going to even be in Romans today. Well, we may possibly be there a little bit, but we're going to take a little pause from our journey through Romans. And if you had an outline, at the top, it would say, vision and direction. What is your next step? So that at least gives you some framework of where, if you need a pen, you know, there may be very likely something you need to write down today. So I'm sorry there's not an outline, but there are pens back there. So what prompted this change of direction this morning? I'm not expecting an answer from you. I'm asking the question that you're asking. So what prompted it for me is, you know, we've been looking at this space next door, purchasing this, and we really figured out, and through talking to the bank and through putting a sizable down payment, that we can refinance the whole thing and actually lower our payment. So it's really a good deal. It really is a good deal for us. And we just went through the approval process with the bank, and they have said, go ahead. We would love to loan you the money if you want to do this. So now it's back in our laps, and we say, and we went through this process before. Remember, we had a meeting, and we were in unity. We decided, well, we should move ahead. Well, once all the process goes through, it's like I'm going, well, things have changed a little bit since that time when we made that decision. You know, we were a little smaller. Some people have left, moved away, and different things. Not that that should stop us, but still, it makes me reconsider, where are we? Where are we as a body, you individually, and do you want to do this? So this is a little process we go through, and by the time we get to the end of this, we're not going to have a meeting, but I'm going to ask you to respond to me via email, and because I have some questions and some about direction for you this morning, for us as a church, for you individually. So that prompted it. And then a friend, Ken and Carrie Atkinson, a lot of you know them, they sent me this, I guess it's a website, but it's a webcast. And there's there's two pastors, fairly famous guys, young guys, Francis Chan. We had a clip from him. Do you remember our little discipleship clip we had one day? You should remember, because I rarely do it. But that was Francis Chan. And there's another guy, David Platt. He wrote a book called Radical. And these guys, I was sharing with some of the guys this morning, that they kind of have their finger on the pulse of the church as a whole. Now, I like these two guys. I think they're good preachers. I haven't really researched their theology, so if you know more about them than I do and there's something off about them, you can let me know. I don't want to promote them without having researched and know exactly what their beliefs are, because I really don't. But the things they had to say in this webcast I thought were powerful and they were good. And the name of these two guys came together, and they have this organization called Multiply. And I'll send you, because I'm gonna communicate with you this week. So I will send you, if you would like to listen to the webcast. It was live. There were two locations, and they did this live webcast, but it's recorded, so you'll be able to listen to it. And their topic was making disciples. And really amazing. And my first thought really was, so these two young punks are going to come and say a little better than what I say, but what I've been saying for the last 20 plus years. And everything in this webcast, you have heard. And then some. Much more detail than what they go into. I don't know why that struck me so much. It's like, if these guys, I feel like they do have a feel for what God is doing in the church as a whole. And they're passionate about it, and they're given some answers about it, but none of it is new. I listened to the whole thing, and not one word they said has not been said from here that you have heard. Everything from, you know, our little thing of take what you love and use it for God, even that, and use it for God's purposes, almost everything we've talked about, it's like, these guys have been listening to my sermons, and this made them better. So, there's something about this that just, this in addition to the space, and it's like, I just want to reevaluate. You know? In one sense, I have some hard questions for you. So I've been beating this drum for a long time. And I've assumed that you're with me. You know? You get it. You want it. Maybe not always responding. I'm patient with that. You know? And I shared with the guys this morning also that this morning, I want to be careful. Because this is not, I don't want to put guilt on you. Now, if the Holy Spirit does that, then receive it. But here's what I would do wrong, okay? I would put guilt on you when you shouldn't be receiving it. Because you might be in a situation where you're doing all that you can do, and you're trusting God, and you're just, you may not be making disciples, but you're okay. You're trusting God, and so I might put some guilt on you that you shouldn't receive. But then again, I might let you off the hook, and you shouldn't be let off the hook. Because I might have mercy for you, and really what needs to happen is the hammer needs to come down and say, you're not obeying. You're not obeying. And I might not have the guts to do that. Or I might not have the knowledge of your life and the ins and outs of it enough to do that. So, that's the Holy Spirit's job. Both ends of that thing. So do not let me put guilt on you. That's not my job. But at the same time, don't let me let you off the hook by saying, you know, I know your job is just overwhelming and I understand that. And that would probably be my response to you, really. My honest heart response is, I know what life's like, you know? So don't let me let you off the hook either. You listen to the Holy Spirit. And so this is a time we are poised, in a sense, to take a next step as a church. I just do not take these things lightly. You know, if we buy that, we're committing to that space, but what are we going to use it for? What's our purpose? What's our goal? And so we want to stop and reevaluate. What is your next step in your growth as a believer? What is your next step? Because whatever it is, you may not admit it, you may not recognize it, but whatever your next step is or isn't, greatly affects this body. It greatly affects what God has called us to and what we do, where we go. It greatly affects the cause of Christ and all the people around you. What is your next step? You remember, as David has a knack, I don't know if you noticed this, but he has a knack for looking at the past and condensing it into a little package and saying, and sometimes when David explains those things, I go, how did you put that into 10 minutes? It took me a year to preach all those things. So, you remember this idea of the tsunami of a salvation. You know, this is not like if you have turned to God to follow Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, either you have or you haven't, you know? Maybe you're moving towards that, and that's awesome. You move towards that. But either you have or you haven't decided, I'm a follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, it's not just a decision, not just a mental choice. It is, you have acknowledged your sin. You have been identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You have new life. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and there has been a tsunami has hit you. Drastic change has taken place. In you, your purpose, your goals, everything is different now. You may not quite recognize it yet, but everything is different now. And I had this story set for later in the message, but I'm not going to try to control this. There was I heard this story from the webcast. There was a guy that was a missionary in a very tough land in the Middle East where things are difficult in some countries. And he didn't name the specific country, but he said there's a young man came to know the Lord. He had put his trust in Christ. He became a follower of Jesus. And the next day, immediately following this guy met with him and he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of everybody you know. Everybody you know. And then I want you to circle 10 names on that list of the people that are least likely to kill you if you share the gospel with them. He wasn't He was serious. So you take those 10 people that are least likely to kill you, and that's where you start. You start sharing the gospel in your life with those people. You share them the gospel of Christ. I don't know, that just struck me. That, to be a disciple, is to be a disciple maker. That's the message he was sending that guy. That Jesus called us to be fishers of men. If we're a disciple, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, what was Christ? He was a disciple maker. It's, I no longer do I feed off the world and self, but I feed off of real soul food. That's another phrase from the past. I feed off of real, I get my sustenance, I get my strength, I get my goals and my purpose from a different source. It's coming from a different source now. Let's look at Psalm 63. We'll start with verse 1, 1 through 5. Again, I would encourage you to jot down as the Holy Spirit communicates what even might be the Holy Spirit. You can discern later if it's not and scratch it out. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And I belong, this whole things are completely different. This is where I feed now. This is where I get my strength. I belong to another. I don't belong to myself anymore. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to the enemy. I don't feed off of what the world has to offer. I belong to another, and I've taken on his purpose, and I've taken on his cause in the world and in my life. And I am driven by the love of Christ. His desires, we've talked about this, of how this takes place. His desires are my desires. Let's go to Matthew 28, 18. I know I'll say what I always say when we read Matthew 28, that it's so familiar that you get numb to it. Please don't. It starts like this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. He has the authority to make this command. Would you just think about it just a minute? Does Jesus have the authority to make this command to you? To you, personally. To this church, to me, but to you also. Remember, I've called you to follow me, to do what I did, to be fishers of men. I've called you to live for my purposes, no longer belonging to yourself, no longer feeding off the world, feeding off of me. And I have the authority, he says, to do so. I give you this suggestion. I give you this command. Marching orders. I give you this command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and this promise that goes with it, that goes with you, in a special way. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And then Acts 1:8. You may recognize these verses from when we did some of you were around when we did what's the vision and the mission of this church? Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, we don't know exactly what it's going to be like when we stand before Jesus. You know, we know there will be no condemnation for those that stand before Him at the Bema. That's for believers. That's where we come to Christ. And in a sense, there is an assessment. There is, we receive our reward. We receive no condemnation at that place. But yet, what if Jesus was to ask you, what did you do with my command? What did you do with my command? My command was, go and make disciples. And what about the Holy Spirit who lived in you? This power, this enormous, unspeakable power that lives within you. The Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is a person, but He gives us power. It's obvious in that verse, Acts 1:8. What did you do with this? You see, where we have been recently is the groundwork for this. You don't just start off and you go and you're saying, well, it doesn't matter how you live, I'm, you know, follow me as I follow Jesus. Well, no, it does matter. It does matter how we're living. If we're going to, don't make disciples if you're off in sin somewhere. You know, go ahead and get that taken care of. But that can be handled instantaneously, really. So, the command is go and make disciples, and the preparation for that is what God has already done in you. He's already done the work in you. Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. You could do a little mental review of what that is. Of being identified with the death, burial, and resurrection, the life of Christ. Of the battle with the flesh and the spirit, of yielding to God, offering yourselves completely to Him, surrender to Him. And then, you know what happens? There's a pull of the love of Jesus. You see, this command to go and make disciples, you could try to turn this, somebody could turn that into works. It is not works. It's like this. It's like this. We share the desires of Jesus now when we're yielded to Him. So here's this person that is without Christ, that is moving maybe towards God or away from God, but they do not know Jesus. They've not been transformed. They do not have new life. They do not have breath. They're dead. They're separated from God. And then there's this love that God has for them. And that love that God has pulls me like a magnet to them. I am pulled to them if I am yielded to God. Rather than just being pulled in my own direction for my own purpose. It's the pull of the love of Jesus that motivates disciple making. So, I'm going to talk about some, in a sense, some suggestions, some practical stuff to you in just a minute here. Almost like a list of things. I hesitated to do that, but it's really, the things we'll talk about, the things I'm going to throw out on the table are suggestions, but they're really just a foundation for things that need to be going on in this church if we are going to be, for a foundation for you to operate off of as disciple makers. And it's sort of wide. It's going to be a wide range of thoughts, suggestions that I throw out there to you. We won't be able to do all of these things. If we had 500 people, we wouldn't be able to do all these things. But God will give us the giftedness and the prayerful desires to do the things that He's calling us to do, but it will require some action. You see, we've tried not to over-program here. That's been we've been very alert and aware. We can do man-made things and we can make things happen. And they're not the power of God. You see, in the book of Acts, you didn't see a lot of planning and programs and that. It was simply, they trusted God. They gave themselves fully to His purpose. They prayed, they studied the Word, and they made disciples. They did those things in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the power of what a person could plan or structure could provide. But maybe there's times we've not provided enough structure too. Maybe we've gone too far to the other side at times. But either way, it's like Elijah. We have to take some action. Let's look at a couple of verses here. We'll start in 1 Peter. And then we'll get to Elijah. 1 Peter 1:13. First Peter 1:13. That's your verse, girl. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. There's in the King James that says, do you remember how that word, that's worded in the King James? Gird up the loins of your mind. And that is, what he was referring to there is, okay, we've been talking, we've been studying, and we've been doing this. Now, it's time to throw down. It's time to take some action. So, you have these flowing little, they look like dresses. I'm not going to call it what Elijah wears a dress, but you know, the stuff, the robes and stuff. So, but when it's time for Elijah to do business, to take off on this run, what does he do? He grabs the cloak, tucks it in his belt, gets his legs free, and he's ready to go. Let's go there. 1 Kings 18:46. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. He took off on a cross-country sprint, supernaturally. But he had to take some action. He had to take care of things, tuck things away. And it reminds me of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, the picture there is there's a race to be run. So I need to get rid of the extraneous stuff so I can run the race and compete in the way that is set up. I can run the race and win. So there comes a time when we have to quit considering things and talking about things and mulling things over, and we have to take some action. We have to go and make disciples. So the things we'll talk about today, many of these things could be on a more personal side. It could be first thing that needs to happen. It could be that there needs to be a commitment every day to time in the Word and prayer or something related to that. But eventually, real action must take place for fruit to be seen. That's the parable that was already mentioned this morning, that where the owner of the vineyard said, oh, don't cut the tree down. Let me dig around it. Let me water and fertilize. And when you come back next year, then there will be fruit. The owner of the vineyard is looking for fruit. He just is. Action needs to be taken. Your individual impact is obviously important, but the biggest impact you will make is doing your part in the body of Christ as it impacts the world for the sake of the call. So it's a double thing. There's this personal going out and making the disciples, and there's being connected to, engaged with, in partnership with the body following through on the command. So, most of these ideas that we throw out here are how you can be more effective within partnership with the body But it's just the foundation that we have to operate off of. We need this body to be what it can be if you would individually go out with partners and make disciples. God works our efforts together supernaturally. And we've talked about these things so much that we've beat these things to death about sharing the gospel and sharing your life as well. So, in one sense, I had a little bit of a wake-up call for me personally, is that, you know, here's what I thought about planting a church. I thought, you know, and I'm not saying that I planted this church alone. It was not like that at all. But I'm just saying, here's my thought personally. You know, if I just preach the word and teach with the power of the Holy Spirit, and if I make disciples, that's what the church needs. The church will be planted. But it needs more than that. In recent days, when some of my time and my focus has been, I've been forced to put that in other places, I feel like the church stalled. It's like, well, wait a minute. I should be able to stop altogether and the church not stall. That shouldn't happen. We should be making disciples. You know, and I feel like we were getting to that point where I could be gone for 2 weeks and the church didn't miss a lick. But something's wrong if I personally step out of the picture and the church fades. That's not Jesus' plan for the church. I mean, leadership is required, don't get me wrong. That is required. But we are to be making disciples. That is to be the core purpose of our life. So these things are so much more than this, but here are some thoughts. So, like I said, I'm not saying we should do all these things, but do what God has called you to do within the church, build up this foundation, and then we can take action on making disciples. So what kind of stuff? What kind of help do we need? You know, we used to have a retreat every year. I've just not had time to plan a retreat. Lori and I would plan that every year. We'd put the whole thing together, we'd give out little jobs, but basically we'd do the whole thing, have it up at the cabin and do the whole thing. For one thing, we don't fit up at the cabin as well as we used to, which is a good thing. But we could have a retreat and a baptism. Somebody could plan that. You see, the good would come of that. But I haven't been able to do it. There are other church gatherings we could have that you could obviously check in with leadership, from meals to activities. You could help in caring for the body. Maybe somebody feels a call to shepherding. And that idea of regular visits with people's homes, just to check on them, to bring comfort, to see if they're doing okay. We could have more structure to that. You could take a step, guys, and commit to the leadership training. You know, we're ready to start fresh with that. But we need fresh guys if we're going to start fresh with that. We knew we needed an influx of guys that would want to be trained and equipped to lead. But that would take a commitment to do that. You might want to start a firm foundations in your home. Well, you say, well, I don't know how to teach it. Well, that's okay. You set it up. You plan it. You invite a couple people. You get it set up. And then say, one Sunday morning, you say, I've got a firm foundations plan. I need a teacher. Well, we have guys that can teach firm foundations. So you go ahead and do the work. Set it up. Organize it and say, we need a teacher. We'll get you a teacher. Commit to the ladies' Bible study. What does that mean, commit? That means you come every week. I know we've been saying you could come every now and then. That's okay, yeah. But that's really not okay. We need commitment. We need commitment. You want to be a part of a body? You commit to the body. So, you come. You build up. You encourage. You know what encourage does? It gives you courage. You encourage each other. It gives you courage and boldness to go out and share the gospel. So it's foundational. That may not be making disciples in and of itself, but it gives you courage to do it, and you've committed yourself to something. We could use some help with administration. I am very, very weak in this particular avenue. So Maybe that would be to handle all the input that we have from this sermon today. Somebody would need to manage all that. Well, maybe you're good at that. I'm not that good at it. And you see what happens, you know, when the crunch time comes, I do with all those things I'm not good at, things I'm not gifted at, those things fly by the wayside. But I'm going to make disciples and I'm going to preach. That's what I'm called to do. And I'm going to keep doing that no matter what. But there's other things that need to be done too. You can help with communication. Do you like missions? You know what? We have Paul and Tierra in Jordan. And really we are reconnecting a little more with Jim and Tony in Peru. And we have the alliance, denominational missionaries. Somebody could manage that and communicate with that and even organize mission trips. I haven't been able to do it. I want to do it. I desire to do it. I haven't been able to do it. So we're losing touch with these people that represent us overseas. People we're supporting. A Christmas program. You know, we're not going to have a children's Christmas program this year. Somebody could do something. I'm not going to do it. Lori's not going to do it. So, if you want it, somebody have to do it. It's a little late, but something could be done. If that's what we're called to do. I'm not. There again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not pressuring. May not be something we need to do. But does God give somebody a desire and a gifting to do that sort of thing? Then we need to do it. Are you called to be an elder? Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with desiring to be an elder. Nothing wrong with that. If you desire to do that, we're not going to just all of a sudden make you an elder, but we will train you, we will equip you, we will assess, we'll help you. How about planting churches? You know what just happens from discipling? It's not our goal to build a mega church. You say, well, if it is, you're not doing very well. It's not our goal. This is not first step to mega church. You know, of buying this space here, and then we're going to buy all the spaces in this place, and then we're going to get the carpet place, and that's kind of cool. It's fun to think about that, but really our goal is not to be a mega church. You know what happens when you make disciples? You plant churches. Well, that's a little soon for that. Well, maybe it is soon for that, but does God call you to be a part of a church plant? It doesn't have to be exactly like this one. It has to have this philosophy. It has to be a disciple-making philosophy if we're going to be a part of it. It doesn't have to look like this. We'll help you. We'll help you. We'll train you, we'll equip you, and we will send you out. Won't we, church? Won't we do that? We need to make disciples. We need to make disciples. We need to not be afraid to dream and have a vision, God-empowered, and go after it. Well, I might fail. Yeah, you might. You might fail. Be like me. I've failed more times than I've succeeded. But I'm still out there. I'm still out there. Maybe you need a little, you want to use your home as a kingdom outpost, but you're still not sure how. We've done a lot of teaching on that. We've done a lot of talking about it. There's been a lot of examples of it, but you're still not sure. Well, call me. I will counsel you in one session about how to make your home a kingdom outpost. You feel a desire to do that? Is that God? Well, take some action. Let's take some action on it. You want to start a small group in your home? Not a firm foundation, just a small group. We'll help you do that. We'll help you with a topic, with a theme, with a teacher. I'll do the work for you. I'll give you something every week that you could do. Or one of us will. Start a small group in your home. Is that God calling you to do that? Outreach. Well, you don't have any outreach programs. You are the outreach program. We're not doing any outreach. You're not doing any outreach, would be my answer to that. But if you want to organize something? You want to do something different that we don't normally do? You know, I heard this other example, and it kind of struck home with me a little bit, is that a guy came up to one of those Francis Chan and said, you know, I have this desire, Francis, I just want to do this. Look, all these people are at this bus stop, they're getting off of this transportation, it's like our rail system here, and I want to just get off and I want to have a sign there that says, ask me about Jesus. Just ask me about Jesus. And Francis said, well, you know, if you're called to do that, do it. That would be okay. We'll support that. Do that. He said, but you know what would be better? He said, because every single person getting off of that rail probably works with a Christian. It'd be better if those people that worked with them and knew them would invest in them and tell them about Jesus. Wouldn't that be the better way? But if they're not going to do it, go ahead and get your sign. If you're called to do it. You can help lead or participate in CrossFit outreach. We have that's a ministry. We're doing that. It's in the garage, and it's also not in the garage, it's also in the communities. And does that little strike a thing with you? Let you be a part of that? Well, it's already going. Well, I don't know. I've never done it. Well, you don't have to have any experience. If you see it as a way to connect with people and bring somebody, then you participate in that. That's not closed off. It's already an active, alive ministry. It's going. You want to join in? You are welcome. Come on in. Now listen, if a lot of you join in, then we're going to need to move out of the garage and get something else, because we're about almost maxed out right now. So, if that's something you'd like to do, please, be a part. Do it. You are more, and you are encouraged to do that. You're welcome. You want to learn how to lead in that? We'll teach you how to lead in it. I can just see Travis teaching the kids somewhere how to do power cleans. Right, Trav? Oh, maybe you know how to build equipment. We could use that. You want to be a part of the worship team? Oh, I couldn't do that. Well, are you gifted to that? Do you have a desire to do that? Let us know. We will talk to you about that. You want to lead a mentoring program? Oh, I just have this heart for young boys that they would learn how to be men. They don't have fathers. Well, then let's do a mentoring program. We can do those things. You lead it. We'll help you. Or help implement that to help young ladies become true followers of God, women of God. Help young boys become men of God. What's the whole process? Maybe they need more than just Bible studies. Maybe they need to learn how to ride a horse and shoot a gun and build a fire and drive a four-wheel drive too, you know? So, does that strike any little thing in you? Let's do it. Take some action. I can't do all these things. There's some of them I would like to jump on and do, you know, and help you with. Certainly there's some that strike a chord with me and some that don't, but that doesn't mean the church is not called to do it just because it doesn't strike a chord with me personally. How about caring for the poor, the sick? You know, there's the Alliance Church, it's north. I can't remember the address right now. It's not, I'm being recorded, but anyway, I'm not saying that this is all this huge, dynamic, giant, you know, church is just going, but there's a young lady in that church that had a heart for refugees. And she just said, I'm just going to do this. And they have this huge outreach to Muslim refugees. They come into their church, children, they learn English, they teach them, they build a relation with them, and they're turning to Christ. They just had a heart for the poor and the downcast that come into this country and have nowhere to go. This young lady, she just said, I'm going to do it. And she did it. She's making disciples. And you know what? It gave opportunity for other people, because she couldn't do it by herself. So it gave an opportunity for other people to join in and make disciples. There's a lot we can do. We've passed the library around to different people, but no offense, Ken. But we could build up the library. We could build it, make it something of a real, like a bookstore type of a ministry. Well, there's not a youth group. Well, why don't you come help us do that? Come help us do that. How about a summer Bible school? You know, week-long Bible camps. We have a place. There's materials you can look online. Once you start down that road, it's not that hard. But somebody have to do it. You feel called to do it, gifted to do it, need some help? You could help me, which we already have a little bit of road down this thing. Help me do a blog, web design, video communication. We're on the road with those things, but is that something that interests you? You want to be a part of something like that? Let's do it. Take some action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Take a step. So, I'm not asking you to send me your ideas about what I can do. I know what to do. I'm sorry, does that sound arrogant? I know what to do. I do. And God has called me to this thing. To invest my life in others. And you know what? I've received much flack throughout the last 20 years of this heart. It's gone contrary to the church. to go and make disciples. But I don't care what the cost is. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make disciples. Now, I want you to get on the train with me. I really do. You don't have to do it just like I do it. But I do want you to make disciples. It's my call. It's your call. Now, I'm called to preach, too. And I will... It's not a burden. It's not a burden. And whatever you're called to do, you will find it will not be a burden. Go and make disciples of all nations, and I will go with you. You see what? When I preach, Jesus is with me. I'm doing what I'm called to do, and I'm relying on Him, and I know I'm weak. You know, I know I'm weak, but yet when I'm with Him, He gives me the strength to do it. I'm more aware of my weaknesses than you are. But when I'm going and making disciples and doing it in His power, oh, I'm with Him. Is it easy? It's not easy. It's not easy. We're afraid. We're afraid. We're chickens. But we need to encourage one another. We're afraid because it might cost us something. We're afraid because we might fail. All the things. We're afraid of sacrifice. But we get courage. We get courage from one another. We get courage from the Word of God, and we get courage from the Spirit of God. The early church, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what they were doing. Share your gospel and share your life as well. So, do we get the space? I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm not trying to talk you into this. I'm really, honestly, I am not trying to talk you guys into anything. I'll take that back. I'm trying to talk you into making disciples. I will admit that. You know, so in this process, we've been at this for a while. You know, we've been at this for a while. And I kind of assumed, like I said earlier, so I'm leading the charge in a sense, me and some others. And so I'm hearing some footsteps. I'm assuming you're right there with me. But now I'm going to stop and turn around and look. And I'm going to ask you, do you think this charge ought to be going in some other direction than this? There's some other viable things that we could pursue. Or are you in step with this? Am I just beating this drum by myself? Or is everybody else with me? I'm not asking you to respond right now. But I'm asking you to consider it with God. And I'm going to ask you for a response, though. I'm going to ask you to email me. You know what? I like that better than having a meeting. We have a meeting and somebody's going to bring up, yeah, but what about this? And yeah, but what about that? And then we get off on this thing. But you deal with God. And what's God telling you? What's he calling you to? What's He calling you to? So what I don't want to see, and this was mentioned in that webcast, is that I don't want you to walk out of here this Sunday or any other Sunday and just say, wow, that was a good message. That was so convicting. Wow. Oh, that was just so convicting, man. Thank you for that message. Oh, yeah, boy. That's not what I want. You know what that sounds more like? The rich young ruler. He got convicted by Jesus telling him, sell all you have and give it to the poor. That was very convicting to him. And he walked away sad. And sometimes I feel like people walk away from the sermon sad. Instead of being like Zacchaeus, where Zacchaeus said, that's some good news, Jesus. Anybody I cheated, I'm going to pay you back 5 times as much. Yeah, let's have a party and we'll get this thing right. His response was joy. There was repentance, and there was joy. Oh, I've not been making disciples. But I'm gonna. I'm commit. I want to do what you want to do. I want to have your desires, Jesus. I want to live my life for you. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Because you know what disciples do? They make disciples. That's what disciples do. Disciples make disciples. Are you a disciple? When you get to the end of the line, we all will come to the end of the line. The end of your days. We've talked about this before. We use this example. Do you have this whole long line of this train behind you of people that you're just leading right into heaven? Or do you step in alone? Where are your disciples? We see it in Acts. They prayed, they encouraged, they had courage. Again, I don't want to put your disciple making in a box. People try to do that to me. I don't like it. But, do you want to give up your life for the call? Do you want to give up your life to Christ? God has the authority to say, Jesus has the authority to say, go and make disciples. So do we believe in that authority? And are we obeying the command? It's a costly command. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Go. Speak the gospel. Share your life as well. What happens when we do it? When we get it? Let's go to Acts chapter 8, 1 through 4. You know, I got to tell you, this whole thing is rigged. You know, you say, oh, you know, Steve, I just want to grow. I just want to know Jesus more. I just want to learn more about the Bible right now. I just want my prayer life to be better. I just want to be more at peace with God. Do you know what? This thing is rigged. You will hit a ceiling to your growth unless you make disciples. Your growth will poof. It'll just peak out very early. Very early. If you do not make disciples. That's what we're called to. Acts 8. Take note of who planted the churches. Take note of who spread the gospel. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the big dogs. All except the apostles, all except the professional disciple makers, they stayed home. Everybody else was scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged them off. Those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. And then miracles took place and people came to Christ. They were all scattered. The rank and file were scattered. So, do we want this to be our story? The story of this church? To be a disciple-making church? And can we give ourselves to it and see what he does. So what is one, I'm asking you now, what is one, you don't have to answer now. What is one specific way that you sense God is speaking to you? What does disciple making look like in your life? What does that look like? You see, these, they were like Jesus. These ones that were scattered. They were like Jesus. They lived differently. They lived like Jesus. They loved. They had peace, they had joy, they had patience and long suffering. They lived different. They lived like Jesus. They loved people. They were drawn to them because of the love of Christ. They prayed. They boldly shared the gospel and their lives as well. You can't do it. I know you can't do it. And I can't either. But we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Here's my message. And I'm not going to stop preaching it. This is who I am. You got to know God. You got to give yourself fully to Him. And go and make disciples. And bear much fruit. That's what we're going to do. That is, if you're with me. That's what we're going to do. If you're not, we won't do it. It won't work. So I will, my schedule is a little bit scattered this week, but this is my plan, and I will do it. It may not be tomorrow. I would like to do it quickly, but is I'll try to send you an outline to this message because you don't have it here. Hopefully we can go and get the message online even before we get the outline. But I'd like you to respond. Yeah, that's cool stuff, Steve, but I feel like we're called in a different direction. That's okay. I will not be offended. I'm not gonna be offended. I'm beyond being offended here. But you could say, I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I want to make disciples. And this is how I'd like to do it. That's really what I'd like to hear from you. So I would like a response. We don't ask for that often. But I would like a response from you. Email. You guys have my email address? I know you do. StephenLaurieLane@msn.com. So, take some time. Reflect. Think. If you reflect and you think, then action will also be expected. Gird up your loins, the loins of your mind. Oh, I forgot. What I want to know from you is, do we get this space? Is that a part of the vision? Do we get this space? Financially, it's a sound. Sound, it's not a big deal. But I don't want to do it just because of that. And I am not trying to talk you into this. Yeah, I'm really not. If I was to drop dead tomorrow, would you still want the space? Really. Do we want this? So, see if God's directing us in that way. I'm not saying it's disobedience if we don't want it. I'm not saying that. But I don't want it just to have a bigger sanctuary or whatever, that kind of stuff. I want to make disciples.